Welcome to New Life Church teaching series, Foundations, with the lesson titled, Environment of Servanthood, True Spiritual Relationships. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
The created being so looked at the Creator God and said, what's your name? And through all the names, they just couldn't get one name that said what they wanted to call the Creator God. The Creator God said, let there be a book, and he created writings, and down through the thousands of years, the created beings recorded what they heard the Creator God say, and every time it came to the Creator God, they didn't know his name. And so consequently, they called him over 900 different names in this famous book, just trying to find his name. One name that they used a lot that kind of seemed to capture the mystery of this Creator God was Yahweh. It was breath. It was breathed Yahweh. Of all of these names to try to describe, it was called just the breath of God. It is in trying to talk about their Creator God. In the beginning of the book that the created beings wrote, this Creator God was lonely. Everything he created never ended. Everything he created was in a circle. Where does a circle begin and where does it end? It goes forever. Didn't really start, didn't really end. It just goes and goes and goes. So this Creator God, he started throwing things out in this ever-ending universe, and they were all round like the circles, because he knew that everything he was creating would not have an end. He looked at one of the circles that he had created, and the planet, and the Creator God was lonely in this vast place of eternity. And believe it or not, the Creator God was lonely. So he wanted to create himself a companion. And this Creator God, in wanting to create this companion, he desired that this created being loved him as much as he loved the created being. Wow, what a powerful love that must be for this creator to create a being that could reflect back to him a love that he was projecting on to that created being. How could the created being contain and live such a great love as this Creator God had within his heart? So the Creator God, when he looked upon the earth and he created this being, he looked down on the earth and he breathed. He created out of the dirt and he breathed. And there was life in this created being that he created out of the earth. And so God gave him assignments to look after this wonderful place that he had created. God could converse with this created being and talk, and the created being could talk with him, and they could exchange this love, this concept, this experience, this great and all-powerful love could be exchanged. Then something happened. There was an enemy that came into the camp. This epic God was so determined to allow this true love come back towards him that he knew if he manipulated one thing, that he would never experience his love, that great experience of love, coming back into himself. It was at that place that I want to share with you this morning the entire Bible. I want to give you the reason of the entire Scriptures. You can say, well, Alan, what does that have to do with volunteers? Well, you follow me and let's see what we can do with it. Keep in mind this epic journey. In Mark 10, in this famous book that this Creator God left, we find this writing. It says, for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. A ransom, that meant a buyback. That means something was lost and now it must be purchased. Remember, the Creator God, his whole purpose, his whole goal was for him to experience. God had always experienced projecting his love. God had always experienced him being love. The love of God is the greatest experience of the universe. The love of God's what makes the sun shine. The love of God's what makes the moon reflect. The love of God's what holds everything in the universe. It's the love of God that God has holding everything. Plus, it's holding me and you. But God was lonely. God was lonely. He created just a being that would reflect his love back to him, that he might experience true, unadulterated, pure love back to him. We see here that so that he didn't manipulate the situation, that this Creator God found himself that when he created this human, this creative being in the garden here, and he had him in this paradise, and this garden was invaded by one that came in and wanted that love of God that God had intended for himself. So this intruder made himself visible. His voice, so drawing, its voice so real, his voice was so enticing that he would draw the love that Creator God had created for himself. The Creator God said, this is what Creator God said. I will go down and I will give a ransom for these beings that I have created. You see, the Creator God's heart was not then for that love to come back to him. He was grieved because his creation was having to go through the pain of misdirected passion. It was misdirected passion that caused his creation to be in pain. So God knew that he was going to go to earth and he was going to buy back that he had created from the one that had stole it. How did he buy it back? the only way. The Creator God knew that the one that came in and stole it, He knew that He would destroy one, then another, then another, then another, then another. Because God's love is the only love that when you give it, you get more in return. So God created this being when it gave its love to another, it could not be replenished. God's love, He created it to be reciprocal. You give God a little love, He gives you a lot back. He gives you a little, gives you a lot back. When it's misdirected passion, it'll take your love and your passion, but none in return. God said He must redeem it lest they die. So He said, I will die their death, that they might redirect His passion, that they might be filled. Filled to be made full. So He came and He gave ransom. We see that God gave His created beings an example to follow. His name was Jesus. He said, follow His path. For following Jesus gives us a pathway back into the heavens to the Creator God. Follow Jesus. He is the pathway to the Creator God. So we see that Jesus says there that for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to do what? To serve and to give His life a ransom for many. Here we see that we see a window into the spirit world, a window into plugging our passions back into the right place. A window of the Spirit. It's when we give and we serve. The word that's used in our scriptures is volunteer. You thought, well, Alan, I thought it was like volunteer fireman or volunteer. No. See, volunteer is a spiritual word. It's a huge spiritual word here. It's in Psalms 110:3. Your people shall be what? Volunteers in the day of your... Hallelujah. So here we see a secret of the kingdom. A secret of this mystery Creator God. Volunteers in the day of your power. Not the day of their power, but the day of His power. So He knew His created being would need to volunteer in that day. That means that we have a choice to make. We have a big choice to make. There's some in here today that's never made the choice the first time. When the Creator God created His being in the earth, and they disobeyed Him. They disagreed with God and they left the garden. Ever since mankind left the garden, Creator God has been calling them back to the garden. He says, are you over there? Are you over here? Where are you? Creator God has been calling His creation back home. Where is the love of God exchanged? Back at home. So the Creator God calls. Watch this. Have you ever longed for this true relationship with the Creator God? I would like for you to go with me just a little deeper here. Let's understand this Creator God, and He created a being because He wanted to be in relationship Your creation was God's idea. Not yours, not your parents. It was God's. God would have birthed you through somebody else if he wanted to. You are God's idea. So, the creation, then the creator in a relationship. Now, this is kind of huge. Watch it. A relationship in which you experience you volunteering to be with him and him volunteering to be with you. I'm going to go into volunteerism right quickly. What is volunteering? Did you know that God volunteers himself to be in a relationship with you? God says, yes, I like the idea. Matter of fact, I created you for it. The very fact that you're created is proof he's for it. So God, but he volunteers himself. He doesn't impose himself. Is this type of relationship possible between God and man? The answer is yes. Now let's watch this. I'm going to move real quickly here. Have you ever wondered why we are drawn with great hope into this uncontrollable and unmanipulated spiritual experience? Now I'll go over that again right slowly. Have you ever wondered why we are drawn with great hope into this what? Uncontrolled and unmanipulated spiritual experience. You see, the evil one, when he came in the garden, he used manipulation, deception, to gain our attention, to draw our passions. Your love is tied up in your passion. So he wanted to draw that passion. He controlled and he manipulated the spiritual experience. You might say, well, why a spiritual experience? There are openings into the unseen spiritual world that may be found, and volunteering yourself in a relationship is one of them. Now go with me here. Anytime you're in a true spiritual relationship, you are volunteering to be in it. I've had people say, well, we're married, so now bless God, this is what the Bible says they're supposed to do. Well, go ahead and throw that at them and see how that works for you. A relationship only works when you volunteer yourself to it. When you quit volunteering yourself to it, just guess what? You're not in a relationship in that moment. It's a choice. Why? Take it up with God. He's the one that created relationships. Mankind has done everything to manipulate peoples and situations through religion, through all kinds of things, to manipulate man to be in a relationship. Even religious guilt. That's manipulation. Religious guilt. Well, God said. I got a whole teaching on that if you ever want to hear it. A volunteer is someone who has chosen to be in a relationship with another person or persons. When you came here to church, you volunteered to come here today. Nobody had a gun. Nobody had anything to make you be here. It wasn't written in the paper. If you don't go to New Life today, you shall be taxed. Right. Nothing says that. The key words here are has chosen. So anytime you get into spiritual situations, spiritual things, it's going to have has chosen. Because God deals with volunteerism, volunteering ideas. The spiritual world works under volunteering. So, has chosen. So how do I maneuver around in this spiritual world of this great creator? It's by my choices. I choose. I'm free to choose. I'm free to volunteer with God. I'm free not to. It's my choice. This is a choice of the heart which produces a feeling of safety and comfort. When you volunteer yourself into a relationship, now you ready? Here we go. We're going into God here. You have just entered the realm of true freedom expression through a non-controlling relationship. God wants to be in relationship with you and with me. And he doesn't want to control you. He's not going to control you. He's calling you. He's calling you. Come on. Just come home. Come home. That's all God's saying. There should be people in here today that answer the call of God for full-time ministry. Adam and Eve in the garden were in full-time ministry. They were ministering to the animals, to the earth, to the garden. They were in full-time ministry. When you answer the call of God, now this is very, very serious. When you answer the call of God, you are answering His call to full-time ministry. Are you getting it? Full-time ministry. God's created you to have a relationship with. Have you tried to have a relationship and not be at it full-time? How does that work for you? God is into full-time relationship, full-time ministry. The battle in the church today, some people perhaps even in here have never answered the first call and said yes to God and surrendered their heart and life. The second call is answering to ministry. I want to minister with God. That means you give Him all of you. You give it all. You don't hang on and don't say you've given it all, or I wouldn't be standing up here preaching this today. Somebody in here hadn't given it all. Somebody hasn't fully answered the call. Remember, there's an evil one trying to get you to spend your passions elsewhere. But your Creator God had something else in mind. These types of relationships, experiences are like a cold, fresh drink of water, soothing to the soul, bring peace and happiness to the person. How do you know that you're in a good relationship? It feels peaceful. He goes on to say this, if you are forced at any point. Now, there again, remember, this story starts off once upon a time, but it's going to end up happily ever after. But right now, we're where if it was a country song, that the boy's dog just got run over. All right? If you are forced at any point into a relationship, then it ceases to be a true, pure spiritual relationship. If anybody forces you into it, I'll give you an example. And it has been polluted and violated by another's will projected upon the relationship. In other words, as we preach and teach or whatever we do, if we get up here and we force our will upon you in preaching or teaching, if there's a spirit of us projecting our wills on you, that's not true spiritual relationship. What we're to do is to preach and to teach unto you. Here's the heart of God. It's your choice. There's no condemnation here. It's just your choice. If you want to fly and run with God, it's your choice. Listen, God will take us where no man's ever been. God will is giving you vision and dreams that you've yet to see. It's because you've yet to fully answer the call. Let's go on. An extreme example of violating someone's will is rape. I'm going to go to an extreme here. But when a woman is raped, a man projects his will upon that woman. That's will projection. All of us know that this is wrong and that it is an example of one projecting his or her will upon another. We have no problem with that. We have no problem saying that this person should be punished. I'll be right there at the first of that one, and I'm sure you all will also. But what about the times you have projected your own selfish will upon others? So I hadn't raped anybody. Okay, that's fine. But have you projected your will upon others? Good question. You might even want something good for the other person, but it is will projection just the same if you have not been invited. You ever tried to help somebody Oh, they need this, they need this, they need this. And you go give it to them, and they didn't even want it. They reject it. It could even be food. Has anybody ever experienced that one? What is that? You see, true spiritual relationships come by invitation. If you hear anything I have to say today, it's because you're inviting me into your heart with God's truth. If you're sitting there not giving me an invitation to speak God's truth, guess what? It won't happen. But if you invite me in to carry, you judge it, you test it, but it can change your life. You can understand the Bible. If will projection takes place, then true spiritual relationship has been violated. God, the Creator God, never violates its creation. I've had people come to me and say, well, God, I think God killed their child, or God did this, or God, yeah, you just ain't getting it. No, God didn't. No, God didn't make somebody sick. No, God didn't make you fail. No, He didn't. God's trying to have a relationship with Him. He's in there. He's in all the circumstances. I don't care how bad your circumstance is right now. God's in the middle of it if you'll reach out and say, God, we're in this relationship together. Here I am, God. The love of God. Let's move on. If this type of behavior persists, the relationship will ultimately be destroyed. If you're in a relationship with will projection, husband, wife, work, church, wherever, it will ultimately be destroyed. It will be killed by the suffocation of another one's will. My wife, she's probably watching on video or on the streaming right now. So you should have been here. I'm going to tell something on you. She had a little chicken one time. And when she was a little girl, and her sisters would tell it on her, she had that little chicken. She really loved that little chicken, little bitty, and she took it to bed with her. Well, she loved it so much, she woke up the next morning and it was dead. What happened? She held it too tight. She held it too tight. And it died. So God doesn't hold us too tight, lest we die because of His love. He said, I'm going to hold you so tight, I'm going to die. So you don't have to die, so you can feel my love. It will be killed by the suffocation of others. Covering the authentic life of the one upon whom it has been projected. It will be killed by the suffocation of another one's will. Covering the authentic life of the one upon whom it has been projected. This is also an example of a religious, controlling, and selfish spirit, and is used by Christians every day. The scary part is that we even do it in the name of God, not understanding that will projection is a type of witchcraft. Now watch this one. It's a type of witchcraft, and it's the opposite characteristic of the Holy Spirit's nature of invitation. I hope you can hear what I'm saying here. The scary part is that we do it in the name of God, not understanding that will projection is a type of witchcraft and is the opposite characteristic of the Holy Spirit's nature of invitation. Does everybody kind of get that one? This is also called soul power. You've heard it and you can read it in Scripture. We might think it is the power of God when in fact it is the power of the soul. The soul pushes its way forward into someone's life while the Holy Spirit invites you into someone's life. The difference. Soul power is the opposite of the power of God. You will know if you are using soul power in your relationships, if you are getting the opposite results from what you intended to receive. Can you hear that? I'm going to move on, try and get to the happily ever after. Usually people will reject soul power. If not, they will come under the fear and control of another, thus being a slave unto the other person's will and ideas. God is trying to make a slave out of us. He does not project. He calls. He wants us to answer his call. Once again, this is the opposite of a kingdom personality and the personality of the Holy Spirit. It's the opposite. A controlling personality gives the outward appearance of loving and caring, but it has a hidden agenda of control and manipulation for one's own personal gain. It's a religious spirit. It has that outward outcome. The belief of this type of personality is that their happiness and their fulfillment is found in another person. When we try to manipulate others, in other words, if we come to church and as leaders, if our happiness is found because the church house is full, that means our happiness is found in people. Or as leaders, is our happiness found in serving God? Just serving God. It goes like this. Therefore, they must mold others into their image. That's what happens as we're manipulating others. This reveals that the controlling person really believes that they are close to perfection. When you're in manipulation and control, you're in high debate. If you like to debate, you're trying to control. You can do it out of fun, but if you have a lifestyle of debate, you might have a problem with control and manipulation. Because I'm always trying to convince you of my point. How do you know someone's trying to control or manipulate you? They say it more than once. The same thing. Over and over. How else can you tell if someone's trying to control or manipulate? They interrupt you all the time. If you're a person who's always interrupting the conversation, you might be a redneck and have manipulation and control. Wow, I can feel that one. Got a lot of spiritual rednecks in here, Pastor. All right. A controlling person is one who is trying to duplicate others into being like themselves or who they think they are. You got to understand, that's what control and manipulation and heavy debates always about. I'm trying to bring you into my position because I think right. I'm perfect. Yeah. We want to bring people into the presence of God. Into the presence of God. And then you choose. If you want to talk about an issue, say it one time, then you choose. Fight the urge to control and debate and manipulate. Because you'll never win. The heart of man can only be converted by the power of the Spirit of the living God. If you talk somebody into something, go back next week and it's not there. It won't stick. You got to argue all over again. Takes a lot of upkeep. Let's look more closely at kingdom personality. This is kingdom personality. A kingdom personality is one who is helping others learn and become the authentic person whom God has created them to be. In other words, I don't know what God wants you to be. We just want to create an environment. We want to create an environment. An environment. The pastor's been bringing the messages, and it just dawned on me my slide wasn't there. I had the slide of this environment the pastor's been teaching us on. Generosity. Oh, no, now I got myself caught. I can't remember them all. If y'all's paid attention, you know what I'm talking about. It's the last last 3 or 4 weeks, he's been preaching and teaching us on the environment that the kingdom of God has. That environment is an environment that is conducive to true volunteerism. It's an environment that allows us to meet God and volunteer to be with Him and to work with Him. This personality will draw others into the kingdom of God, always understanding that the non-controlling love generated by the kingdom of God is the attraction of the invitation of the kingdom. Being interpreted means when we have the love of God in here. See, we can do lights, we can do a good worship set, we can do everything just right. If we don't have the love of God in here, we don't got nothing. The part that's contagious is the part that's in here. It's the oneness. Why is this the year that new life is to become one? It's one with the Father. What does one with the Father mean? It means that we're answering His call into full-time ministry. All of us. Does that scare anybody for me to say that you've been, God's calling you into full-time ministry? If your life is not answering the call of full-time ministry, you haven't fully answered the call yet. Full-time ministry is not just for the pastor. It's for the congregation. How do you know you've totally given it to God? Because you said yes to this full-time ministry of God. A religious and controlling personality is always pushing their ideas upon others. To push your idea is the opposite of the Spirit of God calling and drawing. Can you feel that? It pushes. While a kingdom person lives their life in peace, not having the need to control and duplicate themselves in others. That is a kingdom personality. You don't have the need to project your will upon others. If you're answering the call of God and you've got your life into full-time ministry, it'll draw people. They'll say, I don't know what you got, but I want it. What's confusing to a lost world is when we look like we've answered the call of God in one part of our life, but not in another part. And people are confused or lost. So I'm not sure if I want that or not. Can't tell a lot of difference. Oh, that looks pretty good. Oh, gosh, that don't look too good. And so we keep the lost world very confused. That's the reason it's important that we answer to full-time ministry. When the lack of controlling others becomes reality, a volunteering atmosphere is created, thus opening the door into the spiritual world. So that's what we're trying to create here, is a spiritual opening, a true spiritual open heaven. Only then can the true freedom that the Apostle Paul spoke about be experienced. I'm going to make a shift here because I've just got a few minutes. I'm shifting now into freedom. To be a volunteer with God in a relationship, there has to be freedom to do so. That's where you can't have control and manipulation, and I know what you need to do, and you're not doing this right, and I'm not doing that right. Everybody's doing everything wrong. All of that is not conducive to freedom. Freedom is an atmosphere. True freedom will reflect the glory of the Lord and not the glory of man. Are you with me? True freedom. That means I'm not controlling, manipulating you. You're not controlling, manipulating me. We've all answered the call to God, to serve Him, to serve mankind. I long for the day that the Church of Jesus Christ, as leaders, we have to worry about. Our big problem is everybody's running into each other because we're serving each other too much. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians says this, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It's free to be a volunteer. Jesus has His freedom. The reason He's so emphatic on freedom is so we can have the spiritual experience of a true relationship with God. That's why. The non-controlling atmosphere will produce a freedom of the Spirit of God in which you can see and experience His true power. See, that's the reason the word volunteer is there. In the day of God's power, you got the volunteers. Why is a volunteer fire department so strong? It's because they volunteer. They give themselves to it. Why was any volunteer services? What's the synergy? It's because it's choice. Anything that's volunteerism has spirit to it. Can you see it? You're operating under spirit because you're volunteering. It's a mindset. It's a mindset of the kingdom of God. There again, the opposite of this, which is controlling, will create an atmosphere of the spirit of man that is pretending to be a God, and it will produce false freedom, which is control. Satan is always bringing bondage, and the Spirit of God is always bringing freedom. I'm just trying to bring us revelation on what bondage and freedom really is. Freedom. What a word. Now watch this. Just imagine freedom is a play. Freedom's a play. We got the stage set. Come see this great play. The name of it's Freedom. Well, who are the characters? If it were, then volunteers would be the characters. That's what he's saying with that word freedom. And volunteers in the day of his power. Freedom is of necessity to have a relationship with God. Why freedom? Because you have to make the choice. Not manipulated, not talked into, not somebody shouting, you need to do this. No, God's speaking to your heart. And you have freedom to respond or not. Where is the Spirit of God? Freedom is the place in which the Spirit of the Lord abides. Let's take a closer look at our beginning verse and the Hebrew definition of the word. Volunteer. It's in Psalms 110. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. Now I'm trying to line you up because I want to tell you something. Let me give you a prophetic word. Power, revival power, is coming to this place. And we're already feeling it. Anybody got a witness? Revival power. You say, well, Alan, what's revival power? Revival power is a power that's created because you got a group of volunteers in freedom. They've answered the call. They volunteered themselves in a relationship with God, and the power shows. Who holds back the power? Volunteer. Here it is. I'll give you all those Greek and Hebrew words for those that like that. It says spontaneity, spontaneous, a spontaneous or abundant gift. In other words, volunteer. Hebrew means you need to spontaneously respond in this freedom. When you volunteer to God, He hits your heart and you just respond. It says this in the KJV. It says free, plentiful, voluntary, willing. So a volunteer is someone who is willing and they spontaneously respond. See, that's what an altar call is. You're giving people an opportunity to be a volunteer to God. Volunteer what? To be in a relationship with God. This is so incredible. Let me show you this. A true volunteer in a relationship with God is the person who will see the day of God's power. And I'm telling you, we're already feeling it. I have been in two revivals. Last one was 20 years ago. Let me tell you how come I know it's about here and it's here. In my personal life, let me say to you like this, I'm in labor pains. In other words, I remember the revival 20 years ago. I've never had a baby. I hear a lady say this. You know, you have two or three babies, and at the next baby, you always say, oh, I forgot how painful it was. You know, you ladies get this forgetfulness on the pain, right? Then you have another baby. Well, I forgot the pain of the last revival. I've been in birth pains. I can feel it. I know where to associate it. I think we're going to have twins. The only thing I'm asking you, I don't want anybody to miss it. Well, if you're not going to miss it, you got to give up more. You got to give your life. You got to answer the call of God into full-time ministry with Him, because He's got a lot more to say to you and to do for you and live with you. And God's lonely. This power will produce a person who can be creative, because there are no boundaries or limitations to their creativeness. Freedom gives creativeness. You notice the creativeness we're trying to do, video. This has all been created with the Spirit. What's this? It is true freedom that creates the atmosphere. That it is God's power that produces a creativity. Nobody gets credit. God. I'm going to go a little bigger here. I'm going to get a little more epic with you. The founding fathers of America understood this biblical truth. You say, Alan, what's America got to do with it? I'm going to show you how big this deal is. True freedom was their commissioning from God. I get amen right here, too. Listen, folks, America was founded on freedom. They were commissioned by God to come here and create freedom. Freedom to worship God. Why was that such a big deal? That was God's intention at the garden. Why has America been blessed? Because of that. Because of freedom we have been blessed. Why freedom? So we as a people should have a relationship with God. Never in the history of the world had a nation been born like the United States of America. America's forefathers were just a group of small armies from 13 independent colonies submitting themselves to God and His freedom. That was it. Why was freedom a big deal? So they could go do what they want to? No, they were free to have a relationship with God. Freedom. They knew they needed the freedom. Never before had there been a country that sought after God and the freedom of its people. The founding fathers knew the secret of a relationship with God. Why is freedom an issue today? Every freedom, we lose freedom a little at a time. We lose freedom a little at a time. Every time you lose a little freedom, you've lost a little more of your freedom in the ability to have this relationship with God. A little more freedom here. Why? Well, look, God's leaving everywhere. We're losing our freedoms. So God's name's not in the courthouse, not the schools, not at every... I mean, it used to be out of vogue if you didn't love God. Now you're a lunatic if you do. The culture's shifted. It's changed. We're losing our freedom. I make a declaration and a plea and a prophecy to you. If we will understand this biblical turn of freedom and volunteerism, that at least this little place, our little cubbyhole we're supposed to look after, that God would not leave this place. The power of God would be here because His people have volunteered to be in relationship with Him. They've answered the call. Full-time ministry. Sign me up. God, I do not want to live this way anymore. Most of your frustrations is because you're not answering the call back to the garden. You've answered the call for the inheritance to the garden, but you've not answered the call to keep up the garden. The secret was freedom. Freedom feels great. But more than that, it is the atmosphere in which a true spiritual relationship can be experienced. It's big, folks. Now look here what John Witherspoon said. Signer of the Declaration of Independence. The truth I am revealing to you right now is an old truth, an old revelation. It is in the man of piety and inward principle that we may expect to find the uncorrupted patriot, the useful citizen, the invincible soldier. God grant that in America, true religion and civil liberty, which is freedom, may be inseparable. And that the unjust attempts to destroy the one may, in the issue, tend to support and establish of both. It's a God-given truth, revelation of the garden. It's the Bible. Freedom to volunteer and give ourselves to God. Do you now understand why? Freedom is the cry of the world. This internal instinct is put in man by God, for it is the place of true relationship between God and man. A volunteer is someone who is willing to be in a relationship with another. I'm talking true relationship, true spiritual relationship. You can't make that happen. It takes an atmosphere of freedom, your freedom to choose, and then a spontaneous answer unto the call of God. Why have some of you not answered this spontaneous call? Because you said, well, I'm going to think about it. That's the reason the word volunteers has spontaneity in it. God knows if you mess around, think about it. He's talking to your heart right then. He knows if you don't respond right then, you go home, think about it, you're not going to do it. So a true volunteer has to be spontaneous. Maybe we allow each person to live in freedom so the power of God might be realized. Here's our scripture. Here's our call. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. When we become volunteers, we become one. You remember the prophecy we had here, Pastor? You came up with it, and when was it? November or sometime? The pastor said, one heart plus one mind equals one voice. Matter of fact, it's on my t-shirt somewhere. Oh, was it right there? There it is. One heart plus one mind equals one voice. One. That's what that means. One. Have true... Listen. As this church, we're going to try to give you a practical way to work out the volunteerism next week. Jenna's going to bring us the understanding. As a church, she's going to have tables up here, different things in the church. She's going to break the news to you. Did I give a video spoiler? Did I give a video spoiler? Did I say too much? That's what my little grandson says. Spoiler. That's a redneck spoiler. True volunteerism. What holds it together is that we all become one. How do we become one? That we're all volunteering together to serve God. It didn't have to be something big. You remember the video? Greeter, parking, helping here. Here's the deal. Don't care what you do, just volunteer. Just volunteer. You say you don't have nowhere to volunteer, we'll make up something. It's not that we need the work. We need the spiritual synergy of oneness to go up into the heavens in the synergy of oneness. As our praise goes up, God's power comes down. As our praise goes up, God's power comes down. As our praise goes up, it comes down. How does our praise go up at a higher level? Because we're all one. We're all working at this together. You might just be handing somebody a mint, but you're volunteering. We're doing it together. It's the togetherness that we're lacking. It's the oneness that we're lacking. Listen, church. We had to crawl before we could walk, but we're trying to walk. Would you help us? Could we stand? And I have a call. If you look at the screen, 2016 is the year that New Life is to become one. One what? One big volunteer, volunteering unto the kingdom. We're going to give practical ways you can volunteer. We just need you to it's just a spiritual sign, symbol, like this is like communion. It's a symbol. Us volunteering with each other is a symbol. And we all get to work together. And where we're working together, there's freedom. Freedom goes up. Power comes down. Listen, church, I can't save the world, but we need to secure this part of it for the kingdom of God. Are you in with us? In Jesus' name.